I'm Sarah Kelleher, and this is Psych in the City, a podcast about sexuality, relationships, and health. One psychotherapist, me, gives you the sex and psych education you didn't get in social work school, or most likely anywhere. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Psych in the City. I am your host, Sarah Kelleher. Over the next few weeks, the episodes on the podcast are going to be a little bit different. I usually focus on longer form episodes about a specific topic and interview a guest, but I am preparing to take my LCSW licensing exam, which is the licensed clinical social work exam. And I take it in a few weeks, and I'm going to be using this podcast, my podcast, because I can, as a study prep space. So I am each shorter episode, I'm going to focus on a theory that is covered, or also a topic, but primarily theories that are covered in the Social Work Licensing Clinical Exam Dawn Apgar studying book, the third edition, which is what I am using to study for my exam. So a little bit of background about the exam. It's 170 questions. You have a 4-hour time limit to take the exam, and they are all multiple choice questions. And I started studying 1 month out from my test date, which is May 16th. And for the first 2 weeks, I go through, ultimately, I'm studying the exact same way as I did for my LMSW test, although it's harder because now I'm working full time and I took my first exam right out of graduate school. But so for the first 2 weeks, I go through a chapter a day and build my note card. So I read the Dawn Apgar Social Work Licensing Clinical Exam, a Comprehensive Study Guide, third edition book, a chapter a day, sometimes more, sometimes less, but try to do a chapter a day. There's 13 chapters in this book. And I build my note cards. And now this is the first day that I'm actually trying to retain the information that I've learned or I'm beginning to learn, because sometimes when I'm reading and while I'm building the note cards, I'm not really paying attention. I'm just building and writing. So now this is really when I consider my study time. So today is the first day of that. So the theoretical framework that I am going to be talking about briefly today is Erik Erikson's Psychosocial Stages of Social Development. Erik Erikson was interested in how children socialize and how socializing affects their sense of self. Erik Erikson thought that personality develops throughout the life course and looked at identity crises as the focal points for each stage of human development. So in this theory, there are 8 distinct stages that have 2 possible outcomes. And if you successfully complete a stage, it results in a healthy personality and successful interactions with others. And failure to successfully complete a stage can result in a reduced ability to complete further stages and therefore a more unhealthy personality and sense of self. However, all of these stages and the important events in them can be resolved successfully at a later time. So basically, in this theory, there are 8 stages, and there is a basic conflict or an important event or kind of a key question that is to be answered during this stage. And that is, there's a certain battle that's happening for the child, and they resolve it or don't resolve it, and then are able to move on to the next stage. So, trust versus mistrust is the name of the first stage, and that starts from infancy, from birth to 1 year of age. And basically, this is when children are beginning to learn the ability to trust others, which is based upon the consistency of their caregivers. So if trust develops successfully, the child gains confidence and security in the world and is able to feel secure even when threatened. However, unsuccessful completion of this stage can result in an inability to trust and therefore a sense of fear about the inconsistencies of the world. So this may result in anxiety, heightened insecurities, and feelings of mistrust in the world around them. So important events that happen in this stage are feeding and basically comfort from a caregiver. And a key question to be answered is my world safe? So they're trying, a child is trying to see, can they trust the world around them? Children develop a sense of trust when caregivers provide reliability, affection, and care. A lack of this, a lack of a caregiver being present, will lead to mistrust. So trust versus mistrust, birth to 1 year of age, children are learning to trust the world. That is the first stage. The second stage is autonomy versus shame and doubt. And this is between the ages of 1 and 3. Basically, children try to assert their independence by walking away from their parent, choosing which toys to play with, and starting to make choices about what they like to wear, to eat, to do, and so on. And if children in this stage are encouraged and supported in their increased independence, it helps them to become more confident and secure in their own ability to survive in the world. If, however, they are criticized or overly controlled or really not given opportunities to help develop a sense of personal control, they begin to feel inadequate in their ability to survive and then may become overly dependent upon others and lack self-esteem or feel a sense of shame or doubt in their own abilities. Autonomy versus shame and doubt, stage that happens after trust versus mistrust between the ages of 1 and 3. So this is early childhood. Important events that occur are like toilet training and dressing. And the key questions are, can I do things by myself or will I always need to rely on other people? And hopefully the outcome is that children will develop a sense of personal control over physical skills and a sense of independence. Success leads to feelings of autonomy, and failure results in feelings of shame and doubt. Third stage is the initiative versus guilt. And this is in maybe preschool, ages 3 and continuing to age 5 or 6. Children are trying to assert themselves more frequently. They want to plan activities, make up games, initiate activities with other people. If they're allowed to do this or given this opportunity, it helps children to develop a sense of initiative and feel secure in their ability to lead others and make decisions. If this tendency or want is not honored, either through criticism or control by a caregiver, teacher, whoever, children may develop a sense of guilt. So they may feel like nuisances to others and will therefore remain a follower, lacking self-initiative. The big things that are going on here, the basic conflict is an initiative versus guilt. And the important events are they're exploring and playing with other children and themselves. Key question to be answered, am I good or bad? The outcome, children will need to begin asserting control and power over their environment. Successes in this stage leads to a sense of purpose. Children who try to exert too much power experience disapproval, resulting in a sense of guilt. So trust versus mistrust, 0 to 1, they're trusting the world around them. Ages 2 to 3, early childhood, is autonomy versus shame and doubt. Can I, you know, do things that I want to do? Can I take care of myself? Do I have a sense of independence? Third stage, initiative versus guilt. So 3 to 5 or 6, children are playing with other children and trying to assert themselves and be a leader. I am also repeating a lot of these things because I am trying to study for the exam by saying these things out loud. So this is helping me probably more than it's helping you. Next stage, industry versus inferiority. This is from age 6 to puberty, so ages 6 to 11, about school age. And the basic conflict here is related to how can I be good? And the important events are school and activities. And children want in this stage to begin to develop a sense of pride in their accomplishments. They start projects, they try to see them through to completion, they feel good about what they have achieved. And again, if children are encouraged and reinforced for their initiative, their ability to take charge, they begin to feel industrious and feel confident in their ability to achieve goals. If they are not encouraged, but instead are held back or restricted, children begin to feel inferior and doubt their abilities and failing to reach their potential because they don't really believe in themselves. So school age, six to puberty, industry versus inferiority, the important events are like school and activities. Key questions are, how can I be good? Children need to cope with new social and academic demands. Success looks like a child developing a sense of competence, while failure to complete this stage results in feelings of inferiority. The fifth stage is during adolescence, so 12 to 18, identity versus role confusion. So the important events that are happening in this stage are surrounding social relationships and identity. And so basically during adolescence, the transition from being a child to an adult is of the utmost importance. So children want to become more independent and begin to look at the future of their lives in terms of career, relationships, families, housing, and so on. So during this period, they are trying to explore possibilities and begin to form their own identities based upon their explorations and the outcomes of those explorations. So this sense of who they are can be hindered, which results in a sense of confusion. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, about themselves and their role in the world. So the big thing going on here is like, who am I and where am I going? Basically, adolescents and teens need and want to develop a sense of self and personal identity. Success in this stage leads to an ability to stay true to ourselves, while failure leads to role confusion and a weak sense of self, and probably like doing things that they don't really want to do to please other people. Okay, we have three more. Next stage in young adulthood is around 19 to 40, and this is called intimacy versus isolation. So in young adulthood, people begin to share themselves more intimately with others and explore relationships, potentially leading toward longer-term commitments with others outside of their family. So successful completion can lead to comfortable relationships and a sense of commitment, safety, care within a relationship. Avoiding intimacy and fearing commitment in relationships can lead to isolation, loneliness, and sometimes depression. So young adults basically need to form intimate, loving relationships with other people. Success leads to strong relationships, while failure results in loneliness and isolation. So the big important events that are going on during intimacy versus isolation in the young adult age is, am I loved or wanted? And do I have intimate relationships? That is the big important social event happening. Infancy, it's feeding and comfort. It's all about comfort. Early childhood is like toilet training and dressing. It's autonomy. Preschool is exploration and play. School age is like school activities and being a leader and taking an initiative. Adolescence is developing a sense of self, social relationships, and young adult is really the stage where it begins to focus on intimate relationships. Generativity versus stagnation is the next stage, and that begins to happen around middle adulthood, 40 to 65. And the important events are work and parenthood. The key question is, will I provide something of real value? And at this stage, we assume that individuals are establishing careers or settling down within relationships, potentially beginning families, and more so developing a sense of being a part of the bigger picture, the larger world. So are we giving back to society through raising children, being productive at work, becoming involved in community activities and organizations? By failing to ultimately contribute to the larger world, individuals become stagnant and feel unproductive. So adults need to create or nurture things that will outlast them. Examples of this in the book are often by having children or creating a positive change that benefits other people. Success in this stage leads to feelings of usefulness and accomplishment, while failure in this stage results in shallow involvement in the world. This is not, again, my opinions. This is just the theories that we're talking about. So generativity versus stagnation is during middle adulthood, And it's kind of about how are we contributing to the larger world? And we're struggling with that. The final stage, which is about 65 to death, is called ego integrity versus despair. And the major important event going on right now is reflection of life. Have I lived a full life? As individuals grow older, we tend to slow down and explore life as a retired person. And it's during this time that we kind of contemplate accomplishments and either feel a sense of integrity for the life that we lived and accomplishment and the progression of our lives. And if we see our lives as being unproductive and failing to accomplish life goals, we can become dissatisfied with life and develop despair. That can lead to depression and hopelessness. And if we feel good about our lives, we feel happy, we feel accomplished, we feel good. And older adults basically need to look back on life in this stage and feel a sense of fulfillment. Success at this stage leads to a feeling of wisdom, while failure in this stage results in regret, bitterness, and despair. Big question, it's a reflection on life. Have I lived a full life? And this happens as we begin to get older. To summarize, that was a brief introduction to Erik Erikson's 8 psychosocial stages of social development. That is from chapter 1, Human Growth and Development, in the Dawn Apgar LCSW Study Guide book, edition 3. And Erik Erikson was interested in how children socialize and how socializing affects their sense of self. Personality develops through the life course, and his theory looks at identity crises basically as the focal point for each stage of human development. There is 8 distinct stages that have 2 outcomes, and you either successfully complete a stage or you don't, but the stages, however, can be resolved successfully at a later time. Thanks for helping me study.